All right, welcome to our fifth podcast. It's May 5th, and we hopefully are done with winter.
One can hope.
It will never
end. What did it, like 18 inches last week, and then...
Oh, it'll be 70 tomorrow.
70?
Yeah, well, it was 18 inches, and I believe Obama declared that southern counties of Minnesota are like a national emergency because of the ice storm.
Weird.
That like,
we got it.
Out
we
power.
Don't.
I mean, we are the new Westeros.
We don't give a shit.
I was going to make that
assumption. Winter's coming.
Feature to the bunch.
Anyways, got a good podcast. Start off, we just got done with doing
a short.
We're calling it a short, I guess. Just a fun... fun thing we're putting together. Hopefully we'll have it done pretty soon.
Right. We spent all day.
All day.
Yeah. Some of us have very bad backs that are very painful.
I have a very bad back.
Very bad knees. My knees hurt.
My back is starting to hurt me now too, actually.
We're a bunch of old men. We're trying to make movies here. This is a young man's game. We can't do this any longer.
Back in my day.
Anyway.
Put all the youngins wrong. We can do it.
But it was pretty fun. I think we had a good workflow going. We planned out way more shots than we actually were able to do.
We did it completely ad-lib.
So. Ad-lib.
Yeah. Ad-lib.
Luckily, there was very little dialogue, if not any. So ad-lib was,
we'll
you know.
A loose term.
Oh, you meant we made it up as we went along.
Mostly.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, just like it wasn't planned or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. Do we want to say anything more than that?
I mean, I guess we can call it Snurf.
Snurf? Yeah. Are we actually calling it that?
I like it.
Well, that's its working title at this point.
Lee wrote Snurf Wars on the slate, and I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, and we'll just let that be the tease for the audience. You can try and figure
out what
that means.
Maybe we can call it Snarf.
Snarf! Snarf!
Snarf!
Okay. Well, and so that's going to be coming out soon.
Yeah, and it's been, almost a year since our last short. So.
Yep, so it's good to be back in the saddle.
It is. And this is the second short with our new camera and using the Tascam, so hopefully it'll be good.
The Tascam, for those of you who don't know, that's our audio recorder.
Right.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yep.
All right, well...
we have another bit of exciting news as well.
We actually have news about ourselves.
Yes, this is very exciting. For those listeners who don't know, there is a company called Rooster Teeth that I am a huge, huge fan of. They do the popular
That's an understatement.
Series. Yes, it is. I am sporting one of their hats and one of their shirts right now.
He bought the merch.
Yep, I bought the merch. I have the swag going. They do a popular Red series called Red versus Blue. Have a look at it if you haven't. And for the last 2 years, they've done a convention in Texas called RTX. And so this year's RTX, I was very excited to go because I was finally, my schedule is finally available.
Is this their third year?
There's their third year, yes.
Yeah, and then they were so big last year that they finally moved to the convention center.
No, it was at the convention center last year.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, it was, so first year it was
The first year it was supposed over. To be a little tiny sort of, it was more like a two-day party.
Yeah.
That had like 200 people. There was an error in their ticket system. They sold to 500. So they brought in all the 500. They accommodated it.
That sucks.
Next year. So that year it was more loosely called Rooster Teeth Texas. So RTX, Rooster Teeth Texas. Mm-hmm. The second year when they moved to a convention center, and at that point they sort of became a legitimate convention. They changed it to it's Rooster Teeth Expo. And it was actually at last year's RTX that 343 Industries had the first consumer-playable demo of Halo 4.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So there's a lot of cool stuff on the docket. You can go to rtxevent.com, I believe, if you want to hear some more. But the exciting news as that pertains to us is months and months ago when this was when after the tickets went on sale, there was an application to panels. And so I, pretty much on a whim, submitted a panel to talk about our Halo fan film, the company's Halo fan film, Dawn Under Heaven. And I just found out the other day that it was accepted. And so Lee Wade, myself, and another good friend of ours, Sean Doyle, will be presenting at RTX.
And
we'll be around.
Yeah.
But it's
he's
just
gonna,
the
he's
four
gonna
of
be
them.
There.
Oh, okay.
Will is a guy that we work on. Just the Halo fan film.
He's a guy that we work on.
Work with.
We're working on the
and
guy.
I guess like Sean's kind of like our military advisor for...
Yeah,
like,
he helped us with the teaser.
And he got costumes for us. Well, the BDUs.
Yeah.
Yep. So
we're going to try to act like we know what we're talking about.
Yep, and so we're going there and we will be talking about for a large portion of it specifically about our fan film and our experience, but also looking at the challenges of sort of expanding the Halo universe as it pertains to the world, and also just the challenges of fan filmmaking in general as far as our challenges when dealing with costumes and visual effects and all that stuff.
Do you know if Rooster Teeth records all the panels?
I know that they had a bunch, a bunch of them were streamed. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this one will be streamed yet. I'm sure we'll post more information. We'll talk more about it at the next podcast as we get more info from Rooster Teeth.
Do you think they would allow us to have our own camera in the back recording?
I don't think that would be a problem.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, so we'll bring one of our cameras and we'll set it up in the back and we'll see if we can't post that.
I mean, we know a thing or two about event shooting. So.
Yes, we do know a thing or two about event shooting. So yeah. That's really exciting. That was a complete shot in the dark. I really did not think the amount of proposal. I didn't think
in a million years that would have happened.
Yeah.
But they also accepted our friend from, what is the... their Halo fan film?
The Fallen. Our friend Danny from The Fallen, they got their panel.
Yeah, which is more about just Halo film.
Halo and Hollywood, I think, was their tagline.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So we're going to be a little more specific.
To be honest, I don't even remember what I titled the thing.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I should find out.
You didn't title it like Dawn into Heaven or something?
I probably talked about it was like Halo filmmaking.
Okay.
Or something like that. I'll see if I can find out. I tried to find... I thought I created a copy of the proposal.
The event is July 5th through the 7th. So, yeah.
So and again, as we get more information, we know
it's only $50 for the 3 days, which is
and in
really
a
cheap
lovely
compared
city
to
of Austin,
other...
Texas, which is a fantastic little city. Yeah. Not very little. But.
And so I think what our plan is before then is to have the teaser released on the 20th of this month, and then I guess publicize it as much as possible. So hopefully there's a buzz about us around the Halo community.
Yep.
So people going to RTX might really know about us and want to go to our panel.
Yep.
That's the idea.
Yep. And again, as we get more information from Rooster Teeth, we just know we were accepted. I don't know the times and the dates
and
when we are. But as that comes out, you will see posts about that on our Facebook page. And I'm incredibly excited for it. So I will be talking about it to no end in the coming podcasts.
I'm sure you will.
Cool. Well... can't wait. What is it, like 60 days?
I believe it is 59 days.
59?
You don't have a countdown on your desktop?
I don't have it on my desktop, but I can actually bring... I'll bring up the actual...
Someone like you, David.
I know.
Cool. Well, I think that's up for Intersection News.
I'm sorry. It is 60 days, 5 hours, 37 minutes, and 18 seconds.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Yep. You wanted a countdown. You got it.
Well, I think we can move on to Minnesota news, right?
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's do it.
We didn't really talk about some new relationships that we were trying to work with. Tim Lovett, is that how you say his last name?
Yep.
And some of his roommates here. He's had a connection to Corridor Digital, and we were trying to start up something here with him and getting more of a community together and events to meet new people and stuff like that, to work on shorts and stuff like that. So he, out of the blue, is now moving to California to work with Corridor Digital.
Lucky really son of a bitch.
Yeah. We love him to death, but still.
Hopefully, you know...
Well, when Corridor Digital comes back every
year...
Yeah,
puts in a good word for us.
Because what was the last one they did? Was it Assassin's Creed? Was it the last one?
No, it was DayZ.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Assassin's Creed one they did do here, too.
Yeah.
But it was the plot over.
So what, like next January through April, somewhere in there, they're probably going to come back?
Probably, yeah. I think it's usually about once a year.
Yeah.
That may be different depending on... I know one of the projects they were looking into expanding further was Tether.
Yeah,
and
which is shot here.
That would shot up here, and I think they were talking about that as being a possibility. Because when I talked to them when they were here, and I got the privilege of working with them, they were talking about they want to start working on some larger projects, and it was between that and possibly doing a video game movie, like a licensed video game movie, like a good version of Doom or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was that or Tether, and so we'll see if that continues. I fear that they may delay Tether because there's a movie coming out soon called Elysium.
Oh, with a very similar plot. David,
so
you didn't like the Rocks version of Doom?
I cannot say that I like the Rocks version of Doom. I cannot say.
Well, anyway, so that's really cool. Yeah. I haven't met Tim, unfortunately, but
best of luck to him. And
definitely,
you know, it's amazing the connection we have now.
Yeah,
yeah,
which is great.
Was there anything else regionally? I don't think there's anything else we talked about. I mean, there's still petitions we're signing and all that stuff, but I'm not sure
that I can think of.
Yeah.
Spring is hopefully on its way.
Yeah.
Maybe that's about just not come and then summer will be here.
I would say it's
waiting
here
for the warm weather.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's NAB to talk about, too.
NAB.
Yeah. How long
this was a wonderful.
This was a while ago now.
This was almost a month because it was the weekend we recorded the last podcast that opened. So no information was out yet because it was just the opening show. So yeah, it's been about a month.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess right out of the gate, the big contenders for me was the Global Shutter and the new Black Magic.
Yep.
Which is awesome.
No, wait, it was not on the Black Magic. It was for the Red. It was a new swap in for the Red.
I thought it was also the new Black Magic, the new 4K.
Maybe they both have it. I know the Red was making an attachment to swap.
Okay.
The lens mount.
I saw a lot of posts about the new 4K Black Magic having a Global Shutter.
Oh, yes, I think you're right. I'm sorry.
Maybe you can fact check me or something. But anyway, so I guess for anyone who doesn't know, a rolling shutter is when an image is scanned not all at once, goes from the top down.
Yeah, vertically.
Yeah, and then global shutter is every shot is taken as a picture, like a frame is taken as a picture.
It does have global shutter. I just
okay, it, okay. Yeah. And plus it has 4K for $4,500 or something like that.
Yeah,
just the
or
base
it's,
model.
It's a little shy of 4K. It's
sure,
3840 by 2160.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then they also had their pocket edition to the Blackmagic.
Yep, that one is really cool looking little camera.
But I think for me, though, the 4K Blackmagic was probably my favorite thing I saw. Anybody else?
The two things that stood out to me the biggest was Red was finally releasing the Red Dragon, which is the new swap-in sensor available for the Scarlet and the Epic. And that amps it up to 6K resolution at 100 frames per second.
Wow.
Which is wild. And then the other one in relation to resolution and frame rate is Phantom is a... It's Vision Research, I think, is the overarching company, but they make these Phantom high-speed cameras. So if you've seen, like, Sherlock Holmes' Game of Shadows, when they do that whole slow-motion bit, that was shot with slow-motion or...
High frame rate?
High frame rate. It was shot with a Phantom camera, and they just released the new one, which is the Phantom Flex 4K, which does 1,000 frames per second at 4K resolution, which with 16 gigs of memory records for 5 seconds. You get 5 seconds.
Wow. I mean,
that is dumb.
I thought we were cool, you know, right here shooting 60 frames a second, 60p. At 720 for our slow-mo, mm-hmm. which, by the way, is going to look effing amazing.
It's buttery smooth. Like, I could see the difference on the screen.
Yeah,
I see it.
No, and plus, when we bring in After Effects and do time remapping, we can After Effects creates frames in between our frames to make it even more. Like, it simulates like 120 frames a second.
Ooh.
It's going to be lovely.
That's the whole method between our slow-mo. And it's a cool little trick that After Effects can do. Anything else that we were excited about?
Did you want to talk about the Pocket Cinema camera from Blackmagic?
Oh, yeah, you mentioned it. A really cool little... It's this tiny... If it didn't have a lens on it, you'd think it was a tiny point-and-shoot you picked up from Canon. It's a tiny little camera, shoots in full frame 16mm.
Shoots in RAW?
Yep, shoots in RAW. Mm. And it is going for $1,000. Which for something of that quality, when we did our research, and it has 13 stops of dynamic range, which is unbelievable.
That's
for
a
camera that cheap and that small.
Yeah.
And it was on the table for a little bit for our next camera, but we sort of passed on that.
Well, I mean, and like we said before, it depends whether or not we can do like a trade with what we have now.
Yeah.
If we can just, you know, sell one, make enough to get that, then, you know, I'm on board.
Yeah. That's one of the difficulties of being a smaller startup is having to budget our money and figure out what we need, what we can afford, when we can afford it, and all that.
And also make sure what we're buying is, I think like Wade said, it's advancing us
right
far enough that it's justifying
mm-hmm.
the buy.
Like, we'll be set for a while, and then yeah. we right. can go on to the next
and one. And depending on if we want to get, like, only Canon lenses, like we talked about, or yep. only a certain, like we're investing in our future. The next things yeah. we buy will complement what we're investing in.
That is a nice 18, what does it go up to, 135 millimeter?
Yeah,
that we've got 135. On there right now. That's really nice.
Yeah, there's a few more lenses I'd like us to buy. Like, I really want us to get a nice prime lens.
Mm. Yeah, like a really 50 millimeter or yeah. something. Yeah.
A nice high-speed prime lens would be
yep.
good.
Yep. The only problem with that is a really big aperture, too. Like, it's a yeah. 1.2 or 1.4.
Well, like, you can get a 50 millimeter lens for about $200. Yeah, but unfortunately, to get the best... Like, to get a real good 50 millimeter lens, it's going to be like $2,000 or something.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
Well, it's just ridiculous.
That also goes into the whole thing where the lenses I'd like to get one day would be cinema lenses, which are like, if it goes from like the size of a coaster, where it attaches to the camera, to like, I don't know, the size of a plate oh. for some of them. They're very short, but they're really, really geared towards cinema
yeah.
and filmmaking. And they start at like $5,000.
There was one lens when I was in film school at MCTC that was designed for 35 millimeter film cameras.
Mm-hmm.
We used it on a Super 16 Arri SR, and it made beautiful images. Yeah. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah.
I guess I
didn't have anything else for NAB.
Yeah, those are the biggest things that came out of
the Thunderbolt was a pretty big deal. They're upgrading it again, double the bandwidth to 20 gigs compared to 10.
Is that the ports or the cables or both?
Both. It's the whole system.
Sure.
So you gotta have to
upgrade
the whole thing. But it really what it enables to do is
4K.
What you can like stream 4K to a display and download 4K
wow.
video
yeah,
like
wow.
at the exact same time.
That's yeah. crazy.
Apple will probably come on to like their next like release.
The next WWDC
and they'll be like, we had to like redesign everything. We had to like go to like the very.
That's exactly what they're
with the new Mac Pro. We just wanted to go back to the beginning. We wanted to create something so good. Actually, with
it's
the
what make Macs. Great.
With the new Mac Pro coming out soon, quote unquote, they might have the new Thunderbolt. Maybe I mean
that'd be curious.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like that.
They probably would. I mean, if they didn't, their refresh on that machine is so
yeah.
David's been looking at buying a new computer, and yeah. he was looking at buying like a refurbished Mac Pro. And for the most part, like, even if you look at the refurbished ones, a lot of the tech on there is really old and crappy. It's like if I went on and I looked on. I basically budgeted out every single piece of that tower, and they were basically justifying $1,400 for just the tower.
Yeah, nothing inside.
It's not. Yeah, and you just built a Hackintosh, didn't you?
Yeah, I just have Windows on it right now.
Shh,
but
don't tell anybody.
I'll be I'll be doing boot to
careful. Tim Cook is
you know
listening.
use the applications I want, especially with like Final Cut Pro and stuff like that. Yeah, it's amazing. First time I built my computer or a computer and got everything I wanted.
Do you have OS X installed on it right now?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I've got an installer for
you can get the installer anytime from your computer.
Oh, cool.
You just download it again and from the App Store.
Cool.
But I'm debating cuz I have an SSD, it's only 128 gigs, and I'm debating if I want to partition that or get a completely another hard drive and SSD.
You could wait.
Put Mac
because if you go on to Newegg and you subscribe to their deals, there'll be like one deal every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's
the only thing I hate is the different formats because what I really want is the two drives for the OSs and then you know some hard disk for the large datas like video files. Movies, music, but I can't. You can't share it between unless it's FAT, and that's has slight restrictions. Mostly just
the size of one file.
You can't have a file more than 4 gigs.
Pain in the ass.
Which might be a problem with like video files.
Yeah it will be. I guarantee.
Well, it's already happened to drives we've shared.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm still thinking about you know what the best complement would be to have the best system, but
sure.
I'll probably use Windows more and do like the Adobe, all the Adobe stuff on there. Anything I can do Windows.
What do you still use?
Because I'd use it more for gaming now too.
Yeah, you'd still use QuickTime as your codec, right?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Do whatever.
But an interesting thing that can segue into is Adobe has their deal on their monthly subscription of their stuff, of their suite. It's like $30 a month. You can use their stuff.
Really?
With free upgrades too.
If they're well, I mean, it stays up to date because you're using it for fun.
Yeah.
I go for free.
If you can get it for free. By all means, do that.
Yeah,
I get a lot of. I'm still a student too, so I get a lot of deals.
Yeah. Well, you downloaded. Was it Smoke for free?
Yep, I can get all the like Autodesk stuff for 3 years.
Cool. That's ridiculous.
Cool. I saw an article a couple weeks ago that it is actually cheaper for somebody in Australia to buy a round trip plane ticket to the United States, fly here, buy the Adobe suite, and then fly back. Rather than pay the Australian price.
Wow.
Seriously? Yeah, well, that goes
into ridiculous.
There was
taxes.
That other controversy with a huge price markup on Apple products as well.
Yeah.
Like there was a big thing about that.
In Australia?
Like, yeah.
Government's trying to fix that.
Yeah. And they're like, hey, why is it so expensive here? And I don't think it's just Apple. I think Apple's just getting a big, lot of publicity about
it. Because they're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, I forget who it was. It was the one chick from Australia who made the cat costume. Kept talking about how expensive things like spray paint, Bondo primer, all that stuff was when she was trying to build her cat costume. Cat, the Spartan.
I was going to think, are you talking about like a furry?
No, she's building a Spartan suit.
What have you been watching?
No, it turned out really well, but I guess stuff down there is really expensive for anything.
I suppose if they don't manufacture it there, then they have to fly it or ship it in.
Most of them don't have very good internet either.
Mm. I've heard the internet down there is horrendous.
Some of that might be getting better, though, because the United States, I believe, just said that they're going to open a military base down there. So, that's my thought.
Interesting. Yeah. On that subject of global news, Google Fiber is expanding. Despite them saying, like, we're not looking to become an ISP, we're just trying to push other people. And other people have finally caught on, too. Like, there's some other, I want to say CenturyLink is rolling out gigabit fiber in...
They need competition.
Canada. Yeah, but, like, Google Fiber has been expanded out of Kansas City or wherever it started to, like, I think at this point, 5 more cities.
Isn't one of them Austin?
Yes, one of them is Austin.
Lucky bastards.
My thought is Google, please not expand to Minnesota.
That would be so great. If they came to Minneapolis, I would.
And you know the other great thing? It does TV too. You can get a $20 HBO subscription through Google Fiber.
Yep. Well, I think that would compete with, though, the city's contract with, what is it, Clear or something?
Oh, for the public Wi-Fi?
For the wireless.
But remember, this is just fiber. It's not.
But it's internet. It's the same thing. And it would be free too.
No, not
Google.
Google's
there,
fiber
there's
is
a
not free.
Free tier that if you pay a $300 installation fee, you get free internet. I think it's only at like 5 megabits per second or something. It's very slow. Mm-hmm. It's like it's for like 7 years. You get it for free. But you have to throw down that $500 fee immediately. But then after that, it's tiered. I think the lowest tier starts at like $70, but it's like 10 down, 20 up or something. So it's still super fast. And like, you know, I would love it up here for a company like ours where we're dealing with video and large video files and the ability to upload it to servers and down really fast could be really, really nice.
I get really awesome ping on my games.
Well,
that too.
Got that zero
ping so amazing.
To continue, I guess May, we have a couple things going on. We had Iron Man. Me and Wade just watched. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Star Trek coming out.
Excited about 2 weeks? That one.
I think Iron Man's breaking records. It broke overseas
really
records.
Made shit ton of money.
Like opening weekend overseas, it was like 180 million.
Wow. It was the first like post-Avengers big boom summer blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
It's probably riding that post-Avengers boom.
Yeah.
Everybody's interested now.
Yeah. Well, it kind of got everybody interested in the superhero movies again, didn't it?
Well, I also really appreciate that they're taking it as a, like, okay, Avengers actually happened in the Iron Man universe, and now let's see what the fallout is.
Yeah.
I think the movie that brought people back to the superhero movies was Ang Lee's Hulk from 2003.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
I don't think so.
That was the one that changed it all.
It would have to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man was...
Spider-Man,
was the one.
I was talking about, like, the recent.
But, like, in the last decade, there seemed to be like a new millennium superhero, you know, push. I think Spider-Man started that. At least that's what I remember.
Yeah, that seems valid. That makes sense.
I think Batman though changed that the style a lot.
Yeah. The darker tone. But
Iron Man is still a little lighthearted.
Yeah, yeah. That's the darkest, and I think the Superman because of out. How and they've even talked about for because I don't know who owned or who's dealing with DC and the Justice League. They talk about making a Justice League movie, and within the next couple years, rebooting Batman with someone else that it's not quite as dark, so it will fit into a Justice League movie.
They basically said if Superman does well, Zack Snyder is going to do the Justice League, and
that would be cool.
Christopher Nolan is like the lord of DC right now. Oh. Like he's overseeing, like producer wise.
Well, yeah, because Nolan is producing Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I knew that. Yeah.
So he's okay with them revamping Batman again.
I don't know if they're doing that, but
I think Nolan,
like Spider-Man.
Nolan knows that the trilogy was like, this is done. This is a discrete story.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it did, like, it wrapped itself up.
Spider-Man, they were successful at it, so.
I would be amazing Spider-Man. Not,
I would be okay if they did Batman Beyond. Oh, yeah.
Batman Beyond would be cool, but.
No, it wouldn't be as cool, but, like, for me, who loves Batman Beyond, I would be really okay with it.
They need to remake Batman Forever, or what was the one with Mr. Freeze?
Batman and Robin.
They need to remake that one.
No, they don't.
Bat nipples and all.
Oh God, bat nipples.
Would you like to see Christian Bale with the bat?
Oddly enough,
there's not going to be any fireworks.
No. Batman and Robin both had nipples in their costume, but Batgirl did not have nipples in her costume.
That's a righteous bummer. That is a righteous bummer.
What
up? Sexism.
What up with that, Jill Schumach? What up?
Yeah.
Call him out.
Any feminists?
Let's tweet at him. Can we tweet at him?
We also have the next Xbox announcement on the 21st.
21st, yeah. We've been watching that very closely.
We'll see how much they actually share.
Will we have to buy that for Destiny, or is it
it's Destiny's.
No,
both.
Destiny's going to be. Yeah, but hopefully we'll actually see more than just a controller.
Like, I think
one of the games that they'll be showing is the next Call of Duty.
Oh my God.
What I've heard
Call of
about
Duty, Black, Purple, Rainbow Ops 17. Yeah.
It's called Ghosts.
Yeah.
Ghosts.
Okay. From what I've heard, though, they even were going to be doing their conference in April, but because they saw that Sony didn't show anything else, they pushed it back so that they could show more.
Yeah.
Than that, they're still going to be restrictive
a lot of criticism.
And wait for. Yeah.
They've been taking. I think there's going to be a. They gave Sony a really long head start on this because the last 4 months have been nothing but PS4 coverage and the next Xbox. Nobody knows what it is.
I think it builds more of the hype, though. I mean, to be honest, PS4, all they showed was like a couple of video games like footage,
that are going to be for Xbox too,
and
like Watch Dogs and stuff like that.
And then they also show the controller, and that that's enough to tease. But like, I don't know. I don't know anybody who's super excited about PS4. I honestly don't.
Are you excited about it? Because I know I think you're the only one here who has a PS3. Does anyone else here have a PS3?
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna take a lot for me to buy a PS4.
The problem is, honestly, none of my friends are on PS, so
that's super valid. That's super valid.
I have an awesome PC.
I'm gonna be building a gaming PC because that makes way more sense.
Yeah. And chances
I can play
next
gen games
be super
with
expensive.
My current system.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is that if you're talking graphics wise and performance wise, that your current pieces already outperform whatever the next generation is.
Yeah.
Leaps and bounds. Yeah. So
it's so interesting because the the 360's been out for what, like 8 years?
Seven.
Which is just
it was designed to be a 10-year console.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
That they wanted a big
held
longevity.
Up. They made incremental improvements. They
released
put in
the
a fan, and then the Slim, which is what I have now, built in Wi-Fi, built in fan, all that stuff.
But that doesn't change anything about the graphics, though.
No, not
no,
at all.
No, it doesn't change the
But it helps because you don't have to buy attachments. Like, you used to have to buy that $100.
That was $100. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
They didn't have HDMI in the beginning ones either.
Yeah.
Really?
Really? It was just component?
Yeah. Well, it was this weird plug that you it was like
oh,
this
it,
weird
yeah, it was
fat
a,
one.
It was a proprietary one.
Yeah, and you plug that in, and it goes out to component.
They still have it on the new ones, but
did it exist back then? HDMI?
I don't think it did.
It probably did, but
it wasn't
widespread
yet.
Used.
Yeah,
because the TVs they just started having HD TVs, and that's why they had the component. But then HDMI came around. I think I have this weird topic. I don't know if I want to talk about it.
You can't tease it like that.
What are we going to talk about, Lee?
Well, I was watching this YouTube channel. It's called Kids React. Or I don't know if the YouTube channel is called that, but it's like a show. And these guys, they just film kids reacting to
different
a lot of like things. YouTube stuff. And I watched it because they were reacting to Corridor Digital. And
when you say kids reacting, I don't know anything about this. Does that mean like young children watching a video and then you film
young
them?
Children. So like they did for Corridor Digital, they did The Glitch, which was about these like game characters. Like they were in this world and they were like glitching.
Oh yeah,
doing
I remember
all
that
stuff.
I remember
if
that.
You've seen it, probably their glitching. Most popular one from them. And they just film them. They have the TV next to them, and they just start watching it. And you just see them reacting to it, and they kind of cut back and forth. It's really funny. They also do old people.
But that would be
funny.
Did
they change it to old people react to?
There was a great video of an old guy playing Gears of War 3. Somebody was sitting next to him explaining to him. He's like, oh, wait, why do I, you know, he was trying to like rationalize, why am I trying to kill this? Or like, what is going on? Yeah. And it was humorous.
Yeah. But like one I stumbled across was, I don't know, how do you say that?
Hatsune Miku.
This just like blew me away. I didn't know it existed.
Is this the one that had the graphics done by Studio Ghibli?
This is a performer, a singer. There's multiple singers, and they're the most popular pop like artists, and they're not real. Like,
really?
It's a concert. Everybody's in it. A screen comes down, a see-through screen, and there's an anime girl that comes out and dances and sings. Wow. And everybody just goes
nuts. When you Google it, it comes up as software. It does not come up as actor, writer.
Because the software is singing.
Oh, here's elderly react.
So it started as software, and then they like attached this character to it, and now they're like the most popular. Like,
that's
they have
crazy.
Like live. They have like live musicians.
It reminds me of Death Clock. Have you guys seen the Adult Swim show Metalocalypse?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's about a fictional metal band called Death Clock, but Death Clock actually tours. The musicians who play the songs will go on tour, but then they drop a big screen and do the same.
Well,
because
Gorillaz, yeah, they don't.
Oh
they,
yeah, Gorillaz.
There's a couple people that always stay with it, but they kind of change people, and they have the cartoon characters. But this is all fake. This is the singer is software.
So it's not even real.
It's a computer singing. Yes.
Wow.
The people on there were just like,
that's crazy. God.
What country is it from?
Most of the
Japan?
Kids
Japan.
And stuff were just like,
oh, what do you
what
think? Of
this?
Course, from Japan. Who else would? Who else would do
yeah.
this? It has to be Japan. Koreans?
It's just crazy know. Though. But it like brings up this question of like, is that okay? Like, it's you know, it's entertainment. It's.
I mean, we're very quickly approaching the uncanny valley.
Yeah,
are you guys familiar with the uncanny valley concept? Mm-mm. There's a graph where as AI gets better and better and better, our appreciation and our acceptance of it reaches a point where it tips, and then our acceptance of it drops dramatically.
And then the Matrix
because it
happens.
Gets too creepy. It's too lifelike. We cannot tell the difference. Mm. And then there's an uptake at the end where it's like, oh, this is real. Mm. But as that comes up, it's called the uncanny valley, and it's there.
You know, and that's going to be part of these next gen systems. And they've had some tests online. I don't know if anybody else seen these of like facial expressions. And they still have a problem. It's called dead eyes, that you know that they're not real because of their eyes.
Yeah,
like it's they just have a really hard time animating eyes. Well, like it's very subtle.
Yeah, and some of the facial animations that they did with L.A. Noir.
Yeah,
it was a phenomenal. It was a phenomenally long process for them, but the results are amazing.
Yeah, but they've even gone from like the videos I've seen. It's like take that times 10.
Oh, I know,
easily.
No, mm-hmm.
And it's just like
the other thing.
It's creepy.
It is creepy. There was one that I saw after the PS4 was announced. There was an old guy, and it was just his old wrinkly face and all his hair and stuff. And it was very very. It was you know picturesque and lifelike. And somebody posted to Reddit and said, oh, this guy's got, you know, 14,000 polygons on his face and he can't tell a story. But then they posted what's the main character from The Walking Dead, Telltale's The Walking Dead game? I forget what his name is.
Oh, Lee.
Lee, yeah, Lee. Mm. They posted, you know, he's like 272 polygons and he's got a whole lot of life. And so I think something we need to keep in mind is that it doesn't matter how good it looks. You can still make a shitty game with it.
Yeah.
Definitely. They're still going to use it to make Call of Duty, and nobody's going to care.
Yeah.
It's all leading up to the singularity, and that's the tipping point. That'll be scary.
Now, it also can be translated, if we look at it from our sort of our filmmaking side as well, something like that, like, are we going to get to a point where actors don't exist anymore and movies are created by...
Wow, that's a scary thought.
One, just by the director sitting in front of a computer and picking his actors, generating them out of nowhere, creating voices out of nowhere, doing it all digitally. Like, you know, another good example of that is in Avatar. It's like, that was like 99% green screen.
Yeah.
Like, the Na'vi weren't even real. It was all green screen.
So was Star Wars. Well, and James Cameron.
That was like the first big one.
Yeah. I heard James Cameron talking about this. And he was talking about filming Titanic. And he said that was back in the golden age of special effects. Because they would only special effects the things that they absolutely could not make themselves.
Yeah.
And so, like, all the people walking around on the ship are real. They're walking around on
not them. All that, of them. The sweeping shot of the Titanic, computerized people.
Yeah, but
that's why I like Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
Because he still tries to do that as much as he can.
I think he's lost it a little bit.
With the Hobbit, I definitely could see it. I could see,
because
I like,
he had to.
I just
because
don't
you
buy
couldn't
it.
Do tricks. Because he was shot in 3D.
Yeah,
so many of his tricks before.
Yeah, and I think that was a mistake.
I agree.
Because I spent 2 days when I was cleaning my room and I watched every single special features video for the Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
And I look at that and I see the scene where Bilbo lets Gandalf into his house and he takes his hat and says, oh, we should open some wine. You cannot tell that those were green screened.
No.
Mm-hmm. Like that particular one was a green screen one. They did, I'm sorry, it was two different sets. They put Gandalf on the larger, on the smaller set and Bilbo on the bigger set. You cannot tell. It's like, it's almost impossible to tell that was faked. And in The Hobbit, when Gandalf is in Bag End and all the little dwarves are running around, it's like, I felt like it slapped me in the face.
Yeah, that, it was
like,
also the goblin.
Real. We faked
whatever.
This. Look at me, look at me, look
I would
at
say,
me.
Though, with a trained eye, I could tell. Because I could tell that their eyes weren't meeting
if you look,
at certain
if
positions.
You look, yeah. But well, I think it's a difference. That's a difference. Because in Lord of the Rings, you're not immediately told to look at that. Afterwards, if you're watching Lord of the Rings, you can look. It's like, oh, okay, I can see their eyes are not perfectly lining up. But with The Hobbit, you can see dishes running around. Like, okay, there's no way people could actually toss around dishes that way. They must have done
it's
that.
It's supposed to be fun, though.
But it's supposed to be fun. But it takes you out of the film.
That's why Lord of the Rings, the box set to this day, does not have Lee's trained eye seal of approval on it.
No, it does not.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Especially Lord of the Rings 3 had a lot of shitty visual effects.
But Wes, our film teacher from college, David's in mine. He hated Avatar, and he hates, like, you know, the new CGI stuff. And I was doing a report on new CGI technology, like Tron had just come out or was about to come out. Mm. Battlefield 3 was about to come out. And so I was talking about this new age of realism. Talking about how Jeff Bridges in Tron Legacy was like some of the best CGI we'd seen to date. And Wes was like, well, why don't you just make a whole movie like that? You don't need people. And I'm like, you do need people. The CGI is just a tool.
Yeah.
Like any other tool.
Absolutely.
It's still up to the filmmakers to tell the story. And if you can use CGI, fine. But you pay the price of it looking a certain way as opposed to looking like Titanic.
You also need the right people making it too because... You know, an animator isn't an animator. There's skill.
There's vision.
You can't just ship it off to somewhere else and say, all right, put this in there, give it back to me.
Yeah.
They've lost some of that. There's a lot of hardship in visual effects companies and stuff like that. So.
Specifically with Life of Pi and that company tanking.
Yeah. Rhythm and Hughes was the one that did Life of Pi.
Yep. Yeah, I just watched that movie.
I was telling
David earlier, I mean, I had no preconceived notion of what the plot was. So if you had asked me what the plot of that movie was prior to me watching it, I'm like, well, he and the tiger are bros and they just run around the ocean looking for religion or whatever. But turns out the plot is much darker.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think that's about
with
all
that bombshell.
On that bombshell.
Yeah,
it's time to leave.
Yes.
yeah, Well, thank you very much for tuning in this month, and we will be back next time. This is Intersection Studios signing off.
Hey, David, me.